morning.
Good morning.
Sunday after Easter, he is still risen.
Amen.
Exclamation point. It is a beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. His mercies still remain new, thankfully. We focus on that as we ask this question: what word or words, repeatable words, have you been using to describe the state of the world? And will it get better? What role, if any, do we have in making a difference? Ponder the answers to such questions as we hear the word of our Lord once again today and worship him. I invite your attention to the invocation on page 3. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty.
My soul yearns to give thanks for the courts of the Lord.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
O Lord Almighty, blessed are they who trust in you.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Please stand. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
This is love, not that he loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious.
His name is worthy of praise. Pray. O risen Lord, you came to your disciples and took away their fears with your word of peace. Come to us also by word and sacrament, and banish our fears with the comforting assurance of your abiding presence.
For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
On this Sunday after Easter, a reading from Holy Scripture from the book of Acts during the season of Easter. The first reading switches from Old Testament to from the book of Acts. And we are reminded of the fact that people will reject, unfortunately, what Jesus has to offer. May their rejection, though, not deter us from holding on to and proclaiming the gospel. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What is the way to make your joy complete? The Lord provides the answer, reading from Holy Scripture, 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the 20th chapter. Jesus provides ample proof that he is alive and also the source of life. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them,
"Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe."
A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him,
"My Lord and my God."
Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we turn now to our hymn of the day.
Thank you.
mercy, and peace remain
ours, not just today, not just throughout the Easter season, but for time and eternity, such as a gift from God our Father and sealed through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning, hearing these words once again from the book of Acts. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that resurrected Lord, when you hear the words, hold on, what comes to mind? What do you associate with those words? For some, it might be hold on to memories, or hold on to that vehicle you drive. Hold on. Fill in the blank. Well, now add the word firm to that word hold. And what is the sense of those two words together? Hold on and do not let go. Such as holding on to a branch while hanging over a cliff, or hanging on to the reins while riding a horse. Memories, they can come and go. Same with vehicles. What, though, will always be around? One thing for sure that will always be in existence, that will not go away, is the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And while this world exists, we have been given a mission to hold on to. In fact, we are to hold firmly to this mission of holding out the gospel to the people of this world. Why? Well, the world has not changed. The message and the mission is still needed. And the Lord looks at you and me and reminds us of that, because he is the one who equips us to go out with his message on this mission. When we think about it, as we hear the words of the Apostle Paul recorded down here about his ministry in Acts, Luke records these words, a co-worker of Paul, as Paul does his work in Corinth. And as we compare the time then to the time today, not much has changed really, right? I mean, what was the world like at the time of Paul, as recorded by Acts, as he's doing his work in the city of Corinth on his second missionary journey? You know, just before this, he came from Athens, and then he goes to Corinth. Well, what was the world like? It was full of immorality. Sexual immorality of the worst kind. In fact, the city of Corinth, immorality was named after the city of Corinth. And an association of, when you said Corinthianized, that meant certain types of sexual morality, which we still deal with today. There was government corruption and government coercion to people to walk away, for people to walk away from their belief systems. Emperor worship. There was corruption and false teaching in the church. There were many temples set up to false gods. In fact, when Paul was in Athens, he even used one of those altars that the people had set up, addressed to an unknown god, to tell them about the God. But the people in Athens, well, they didn't want to miss any of the gods, so they built that altar to an unknown God. Communication there were forms of communication then. Maybe it wasn't called Facebook or X or whatever, but people got to hear what was going on throughout the known world. I mean, the Roman road system was pretty advanced for those times. Their roads were most likely better than our roads today. Ship travel was common. There were elitists back in that day, those within religious circles and those without, outside of religious circles, who thought they were all that and more. That wealth and titles were where it was at. And there were people who rejected the way, that is Christianity. So has the world really changed much? Because again, what do we have today? Corinth could be LA, could be Sacramento. We have immorality, sexual morality of types that some people would not even think could be possible. We have corruption in high places. We even have people trying to convince us to walk away from our beliefs or put obstacles in our way. Some of them are subtle. Some of them are very open. We have false churches that spring up. We have idol worship. I mean, there aren't too many stores you can go into that you can't buy a Buddha statue. We also have elitists in religious circles and outside of religious circles who think they are all that and not all they need is their wealth or their titles, who only are thinking for this life and not the next, or maybe are looking to freeze their bodies in case there comes an answer for a way to preserve their life once they're dead. We have communication efforts today. Again, not much is hidden. In fact, the immorality that takes place in one city easily can spread to another because of the forms we have for communication. And not all forms of communication are bad necessarily. Many we can use for our own purposes of the mission and the message of the gospel. We also face rejection of the way, Christianity in our day. Not much has changed. And given that, what does the world still need? As it did then and still does today. It needs to hear clear law and gospel preaching. It needs to hear about sin because sin was evident then in the days of the Apostle Paul doing his work, and it is evident still in the day that the Lord has put us to do the work he's given to us. The immorality and the false worship stemming from natural sin inherited, which alone condemns all people before God Almighty. But then that inherited sin shows itself in ugly ways, active sin. Satan is very active, isn't he? In leading people to think only about themselves and to fuel the flames of sin. The thoughts that come into our mind, instead of quelling those and squashing those thoughts, he says, go ahead and act on them. You'll feel better. And as our world continues to act on their thoughts, again, was the world a safe place then? Is the world a safe place today? The more freedom we give to sin and a license to sin, are we feeling any safer? Are we really better as a society? Satan's faulty logic, and people keep falling for it. And because of sin and things that have not changed, what do people still not want to hear, as in the days of Paul and so on in our day? They don't want to hear that they are going to hell. But they need to hear that. But that's not all they need to hear. They also need to hear the gospel. The road to keep us from going to hell. The gospel message has not and does not change. It does not need to change. It's the perfect formula. God made a promise. God kept that promise in the giving of his Son. His Son lived the perfect life in our place, became our substitute, died an innocent death, which makes his substitutionary work a vicarious atonement, a vicarious substitution. And he sealed it by rising from the grave. Amen. That's the perfect formula to deal with sin and to keep us from hell. It's all rooted in what Jesus has done for us and continues to hold out to us through the gospel message. And he's very clear in his word of the Lord that there is only one way to heaven. And his way is different from the ways that this world comes up with. Because the world comes up with ways that have to focus on what we need to do. And what we can do keeps falling short of what is needed. But what Jesus has done meets and surpasses. And so he is rightly the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father. No one can get to heaven except through him. People may not want to hear that, but that's what they need to hear. Now, as with Paul, when he made that message clear and the people rejected it, what did he say? Well, that's on you. I did what the Lord called me to do. Paul didn't walk away, you know, with a smile on his face. Oh, they're on their way to hell. He was saddened by that. But at the same time, their rejection was on them, not on Paul. When people reject you when you want to share the gospel with them, that's on them, not on you. And we can and are to share law and gospel, for the Lord has equipped us for such a task. And so he reminds us here through the Apostle Paul to hold firmly to this mission and the message. And we can do just that because God is the one who does the equipping. He's the one who calls and gathers his church. His church is made up of people. Think about it. The Apostle Paul stopped him in his tracks and converted him to Christianity. And then with Aquila and Priscilla, they may not have been followers of the way when they left Rome, when they were, as Jews and Christians were lumped together and forced to leave Rome. But when they met Paul in Corinth, and he started a relationship with them, he had an opportunity to share the message of Jesus Christ with them. And that is most likely when they became followers of the way and then partners with the gospel. And think about us too. We didn't bring ourselves to God. God brought us to him through the working of the Holy Spirit, whether it be in our baptism, using your parents who brought you to the font, or using a friend who shared the gospel message with you, invited you to church or invited you to an event. And God used the word that was connected to that worship service or to that event to have you become a follower of the way. And that's what follows nicely with the message we heard in the Gospel of John. The power of the word and its purpose. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and that by believing you may have what? You may have life in his name. Think of the countless people that have walked through St. Mark's and even took time to sit in the pews or in the classroom. Maybe they're not with us anymore. Maybe the Lord took them home to heaven. Or maybe they moved somewhere else. Part of the task of us as a church is to build up and to send out. To help prepare people to meet their Lord and Savior face to face. While in the meantime, while still here, to stay in that faith and to share that faith. So while we'd like to have them stay here and become an even bigger happy family, sometimes we send people out. the Lord feeds us and builds us up. For such a purpose. How does he feed us? He feeds us with his very gospel. The gospel in word and in sacrament. That's why we have a means of grace worship. It's not just some random put together service, but it's focused on the word. It reminds us that we are not deserving of God's grace and how we have received God's grace. And so that means of grace worship builds us up and prepares us through this life and for the next. But it's not just means of grace worship that the Lord uses to feed us. He uses devotions and Bible studies and you name it. And yet think about it. Think about the time we spend in the Word versus the time the world has to influence us. Is it a wonder why we struggle time to time with the ways of the Lord and the ways of the world? There's a reason why the Lord reminds us in the psalm, meditate on the word of the Lord day and night. Yeah, you need to carry on with the vocations that he's given to you, the work that he puts before you, the responsibilities and so on, while at the same time doing it with the mind of God in your mind and in your heart. And as we then are fed with the word of our Lord and meditate on his word day and night, we are proactively ready to share the gospel. We're looking for opportunities. And at times we may have to defend the gospel. I mean, proactively sharing the gospel is what we believe. Defending or apologetics is why we believe what we believe. And so when we assign memory work to those catechism students, it's not just because we want to make their life miserable. It's so that they know that for certain that these are particular passages we want you to learn and hold on to, because these will definitely guide you through life. I mean, the whole Bible will, but it's pretty rare that anybody can memorize the whole Bible. And that's what we're to do for life. Being ready. As the Lord said through the Apostle Peter, always be ready to give the reason for the hope that you have. God provides opportunities for us to share that hope. Through us, he sends out missionaries. The Apostle Paul was sent out by the church in Jerusalem to go and proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. We send people out still to proclaim the message to Gentiles and to Jews, to all people. You and I cannot be everywhere at once. And so we send people on our behalf in the Lord's name to go and do that work. In the modes of transportation to go and do that work are better than what they were then. It doesn't take days to get across the world. What an advantage we have to proclaim that gospel, and the need is still very much valid. And that's where then our congregation mission offerings come in. We, together with congregations like-minded, are supporting the work of proclaiming law and gospel to the people of this world. It's not only through those CMO offerings, but also the work of LWMS, Luther Women's Missionary Society. All ladies of this congregation are a part of that. Whether you're active or not, you're a part of that. It's important work of supporting missions outside of the everyday budget, so they can make connections with people. Same with Christian Aid and Relief. It's not just when disasters happen, but especially when people then at disasters are in tune to hear the message of why and what. We, through humanitarian efforts, can be there. So those dollars that we give for all those efforts are not just dollars. They're gospel impact opportunities. And then those personal opportunities to be aware of. What can you use as you run into somebody, not literally, that can start a conversation? Something on their shirt, something they're carrying, the coffee they drink. Just by asking questions to build a relationship, but not being freaky about it. God, help us be aware, in season and out of season. And sure, we could always know more about the Bible. Maybe we don't feel as comfortable as we ought, but it's a starting point, what you have already. You know your Savior and what He's done for you. You know the condition of the world and what the world needs. Trust that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak as He has promised. Now, we may not be the most educated in the world. We may not be considered to be a part of the elite in this world. But in the big picture, such does us no favors. But what we do have, by grace, does. And we have been given the task to pass it on to the world. For we have what the world has always needed since the fall. So hold firm, dear friends, to that message and to the mission. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We join together in a confession of faith. It's printed out for us on page 8. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. Amen. Please be seated. For our thank offering prayer, we sing the verses of Lord of All Good. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people.
We especially thank you for the gift of your one and only Son, who has ascended into heaven and sits at your right hand.
We rejoice in the knowledge that He is our advocate before your throne, and that He intercedes for us in all our needs. Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children.
May they teach their children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve your church and all people.
Hear the prayers of all who are afflicted in the quiet hour of the night when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety. Bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. Birthdays are another reminder of how special our life is, as you, Lord, are the one who has given us this life. Move us to view one another as gifts from you. Continue to refresh in body and soul those celebrating a birthday this week. And Lord, be with Marty Peterson along with Trish Peterson and family as they mourn the death of a husband and father-in-law and grandpa and friend. Also be with Frank Boshaw and his aunt Pam and Pam's husband Bob passed away. While we know death could come at any time for us, young or old, it still hurts when it happens. So thank you for the peace and the hope you alone have to offer the Petersons and the Boshaws as they work through the pain. Bless the words they speak in testimony of your grace and hope which sustains us through this life. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus.
To him be grace and honor and glory and power, now and forever. Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we turn now to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
May the strength that I preserve you in the true faith of the gospel to go in peace and sins for you.
We pray.
Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Morning again. Just ask you the question, did you figure out what your role, if any, is in making a difference in this world? You can always go and look at the further reflection questions as a reminder of what our role is, even in our own little circle, how we can make a difference by holding on to the mission and the message. Just a Bible study. We're doing a one-off today. We're talking about stewardship blessings, the gems of stewardship. Handouts are there in the lobby by the bulletins, or also online. And then starting next Sunday, we plan to get into a discussion on the flood and the implications of that still today. On page 15 in the bulletin, you'll find an Outreach Fran sheet of paper. Use it as you desire. You can see there people to pray for, people that you want to talk to, just to reach out to, or maybe even share the gospel with. Use that as you will, and may that help you as you seek to make a difference in the world. Continue to do so. Regarding teacher call, junior K and kindergarten, we called this last Wednesday Mrs. Allison Huffman. She is married, her husband Timothy. She's currently teaching at Bethany Lutheran in Saginaw, Michigan. So keep her and her family in prayer as she deliberates that. She's also aware of the deadline regarding, you know, in our calling season. So if she's led to accept, that's good for us. But if she's not, then our plan is to go to the assignment committee at Martin Luther College, and those requests are due by May 1st. We'll go that route next. Thank you for your prayers and everything. As I was holding a call, I did return that call. So thank you. Today we're celebrating new members among us. They'll be forming a greeting line there in the lobby. Please make the time to meet and greet them and welcome them. And also then we have some special treats that were made today to help celebrate this even more. So appreciate that opportunity for you to get to know those who have joined our family recently. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society rally coming up on the 20th. Today's the last day to sign up for that rally, as they need to know in advance how many are coming. So that sign-up sheet there is on the information board in the lobby. Please see that. And then also the last opportunity for this rally for our mission offerings associated with LWMS. So please, again, thank you for your generosity, and you can learn more about that by seeking the information board. Check out the weekly news for the things that are going on here at church and school. We do keep the Petersons in prayer. They were members here at St. Mark's for a long time. And so may God be with them as they mourn the loss of Paul, our loss, but his gain in heaven. That's the Easter joy we have. So blessings on the rest of your day. Thank you.